1 Corinthians chapter number 1, look what he says in verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. I want to share a simple thought, and I almost started entitling every Sunday afternoon message, We Believe the Cross, and then we'll believe the Bible, and then we believe the blood, but we'll get to those. I want to preach this afternoon just to remind us that we do believe in the old rugged cross. And I want us, as we go throughout the scriptures today, and I've just entitled this for my personal exhortation, if I can put it that way, on embracing the cross. I love how the old song says that I will cling to the old rugged cross. Now, let me set this in context. We understand back in the Bible times that the old rugged cross was actually one of the Romans' main ways of execution. Today, it would almost be the equivalent, I should say a few years ago, would be the equivalent of the electric chair. Some have compared having a cross in a church or a cross around your neck or something as almost the equivalent of wearing a modern-day electric chair. And we wouldn't glorify that. We wouldn't put it as a piece of jewelry when it was used as a place of execution. But may I remind us that according to the scriptures, the cross has a very special place to each and every one of us that are the child of God. It is a place that we do cherish. It is a place that we cling to, because as soon as you let go of the cross, when it comes to our relationship with Christ, we then begin to grab a hold of anything that we can do to substitute for the cross. People have substituted the cross for their good works. They have substituted the cross with religion. They have substituted the cross with their own personal opinions. We've substituted the cross in preaching to that which would tickle the ears and make us feel good, because we don't want to put out a bloody religion, as some people would call it. But may I remind us that the cross should be of utmost importance to those of us that claim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should never be embarrassed about singing about the cross or telling someone about the cross, because it was upon that old rugged cross that my Savior died. Not just any cross, but it was a cross which held a person that was buried and then rose again. But as I look down through on embracing the cross, there's several things that we could go at throughout the scripture. There's a few things. Let me show you the prophecy of the cross. Look at Galatians chapter number 3. And I just want to turn in some scriptures this afternoon to remind us about the cross upon which Jesus died. In Galatians chapter number 3, look what it says in verse number 13. The Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You say, well, where's the prophecy of that? We see throughout the Old Testament. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. You know, it would be wonderful for our Bible study as you're reading through the New Testament, and there's a phrase that says, as it hath been written. To go back and put a cross reference there to where it's written in the Old Testament. And to be able to have that. Now, I know that there are some scholars and theologians, some of them self-pronounced, that have done a lot of that work for us. May I say this, for the past several years, I've been doing my best to use a Bible that has no outside notes in it whatsoever. Because I came to the point of depending upon that cross reference that was given to me. Instead of when I would read it, of going back and researching and digging it out and writing it in there myself so that I could find out where it was. And I want you to see what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 22. It says, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. You say, Pastor, why is it you read Deuteronomy, but the Bible says he that committeth a sin worthy of death? May I remind us that it's not that Jesus committed a sin worthy of death, but he became sin that was worthy of death for you and I. And fulfilling that scripture, we also read about it. Look at Psalm chapter 22 with me. Psalm chapter 22. You say, well, couldn't Jesus have died any other way? Well, it doesn't specifically say in prophecy that he had to be crucified, but I believe there's enough proof in scripture that that's the way he needed to die. In Proverbs chapter 22, look what it says down around verse number 16. Psalm 22, thank you. Psalm 22, in fact, back it up a little bit to verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Look at this, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are wonderful psalms about our Savior. The piercing of the hands and the feet, cursed is everyone that is hanged upon a tree. You say, well, why was Jesus cursed for hanging on a tree? He was forsaken by his heavenly Father. In fact, Jesus said that, and if you go back and study one of the seven sayings on the cross, one of them is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Literally meaning to turn his back on them and to despise him. That's what Christ went through as he hung there upon that tree. May I say this, that actually in the New Testament is the only place we find the word cross. In the Old Testament, it's cursed everyone that hangs on a tree. And as we look upon this, the prophecy of Scripture, we come back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we're reminded that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Have you ever tried to proclaim the word of God to someone that is without Christ? May it remind us that a lot of times they think that's foolish. Why would someone be able to be crucified? Listen, there were thousands that were crucified back during that era of time. Why would this one be any different? And you then proceed to be able to tell them that it wasn't just another man that was crucified on that day, but it was the only begotten Son of God. And that the Son of God had become flesh and dwelt among us. Because God had to become man, because you can't kill God. But you can kill flesh. And as the Lord Jesus Christ would hang upon the cross, we begin explaining that. And yes, sometimes we have to have confidence in the message of the cross of Christ. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And this world may look at that and say, why do you have a cross? Why would you symbolize that? Why would you glorify that? Because upon that cross that my Savior died. And they may think it's all foolishness, but may it remind us according to the Bible, but unto us which are saved. And may it remind us, it's not supposed to say, but unto us which are being saved. The Bible says, but unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. May I say that the effect of the cross and the preaching of the cross does not stop with us at the moment of salvation. In fact, we draw our power each and every day by going back to the cross. That's why we cling to the cross. Because without the cross in our daily lives, we are powerless. I've told some younger preachers, if you want the power of God upon your preaching, never get away from preaching about the cross. Make it about the Lord Jesus Christ. One old-time preacher, I overheard the conversation, and he said, it doesn't matter where you start in the Bible. He said, but cut cross country to Calvary. He said, as quick as you can, and make sure you end up at Calvary by the end of every message. And make sure we're preaching about the cross of Christ. The preaching of the cross. Remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says. We're in 1 Corinthians 1. Remember about the power of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. We actually call it the resurrection chapter. But just in simplicity, let me remind us that there would be no resurrection if there wasn't for the death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm so thankful that God has given us something to be able to preach about that will bring hope and assurance to all of mankind, to humanity around this world. It will bring hope and assurance, the preaching of the cross. Sometimes I wonder, and honestly, I haven't sat in too many other religious services of non-Bible believers. I've sat in a few. I'll be honest with you, they're just as dead as 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't walk away with any hope. Don't walk away with any assurance. You might have a nice little orator that's there and be able to give you a message that'll make you feel good, but I'm thinking, what in the world are these people clinging to? What are they holding on to for all of eternity? Is it just the message that a Joseph Smith went out into a vineyard somewhere and he received something from up beyond? I'd hate to have my faith be dependent upon another human. Well, I'm so thankful my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand that people look at this, and I understand they say that's foolishness, but to us Bible believers, let me remind us at Granite State Baptist Church, we're not going to get away from preaching the cross of the Lord Jesus. You say, but that is an offense to people. The Bible says it will be an offense. Guess what? A bloody cross with my Savior hanging on that for you and me is offensive to some people. But may I remind us, when they accept on the reason why he did that, it all of a sudden goes from offensive to being cherished. May I remind us that the cross is also empty today? Let me just throw that in. And so is the grave. Amen. We're going to celebrate that here in just a few weeks. I'm not one for a Jesus hanging on the cross. He hung on the cross for a certain number of hours. The Bible says he cried out and said, "It's finished. Into thine hands commend my spirit." Bowed his head, gave up the ghost. The Bible tells us within a couple hours, they came and took his body down off that cross. It's not on there today. And don't worry, if you ever give me a cross, make sure it's empty. If you ever give me a tomb, make sure it's empty. I'm just saying, he died for us. He was taken down off that cross. He was buried and he rose again. We're not going to get away from that message. Embracing the cross, the preaching of the cross. But then may, as we're preaching the cross, you say, what do we preach about the cross? So let me give you the power of the cross. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, and may I remind us without, and this just isn't the direction we're going this afternoon, about the details of the cross. It's reminded to us in Hebrews 12 about that he endured the cross. But what about the power of the cross? Look at Hebrews chapter number 2. He says in verse number 14, he says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Just in case there's any question, you say, what about the power of the cross? Listen, it was not just about Jesus dying on the cross. But I believe this. I believe that there's a devil that was watching every minute. And not just through the death, but through the burial, through the resurrection, destroy him that had the power of death. That's the devil. May I remind you, the devil has no power over your body for eternity or your soul now. No power whatsoever. The only power he has over us is that which we yield to him by yielding to the flesh on a daily basis. You say, well, I don't want him to have any power in my life. If you're a blood-bought child of God, listen, there is nothing and no one that can contend with the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Start singing, "There's power in the blood." Someone once said they wanted to be so full of Jesus that when a mosquito came and bit them, that the mosquito flew away singing, "There's power in the blood." I don't think that happens. What's wrong with being so full of Jesus? And understanding that he came and through death. Now look at this. Look at verse number 15. Yes, he's destroying him that had the power of death, but Hebrews 2:15, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You say, who's that? Well, I don't know about you, but that's me. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on an old rugged cross. Why? To destroy the power of the devil, but to deliver each and every one of us who all their lifetime, listen, you say, I'm subject to bondage. I've just got these things that are controlling me. Listen, that's why Jesus died. To bring you life, not death. To bring you freedom, not bondage. To bring you victory and not defeat. Amen. That he through death might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about embracing the cross. When's the last time that we spent time thanking him for the cross of Calvary? For what he's done for us, for enduring that cross. And the Bible says that he endured all of that, and it was actually a joy for him to do that. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You say, well, what does the cross provide for us? Turn back over with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. In case you're taking notes, I mentioned first the prophecy of the cross. We got into the preaching of the cross, then got into the power of the cross, and I'm going to close with a few things on the provision of the cross. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter number 2, some of my favorite passages of scriptures we'll read down through here. Look at verse number 13. Ephesians 2, 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Aren't you thankful that we have the cross of Christ that has broken down that wall of partition between us? And now he's talking about a physical wall here between Jews and Gentiles. That's coming down. Christ died. Any person can become a member of the family of God. But aren't you thankful that he's reconciled us? He's made peace between us and God Almighty. You know how he did that? By the cross. We were looking in Bible Institute two Thursday nights ago. We were talking about going through, was it the book of Numbers? I believe it was. And we were reminded of John chapter number 3, where it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about when the plague came back around, I believe it was around Numbers 23, somewhere in that area, that the plague came and the judgment, the serpents were coming in the camp, and if they were bit by the serpent, they would die. Moses went and prayed. God said, make a serpent of brass, wrap it around a pole and stick it up there, lift it up. And whosoever will look upon that will live. And God was giving us the Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up from the earth. And what was he lifted up on? An old rugged cross. And may I say the promise is just as true today? It broke down that middle wall of partition. And I'm thankful we have eternal life because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his cross, what he suffered and endured. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 13. The Bible says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, now look at this, boy, this statement, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, don't tell me that this world is alive and well and you have to submit to it on a daily basis. Because it is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that this world is crucified unto me and I unto this world. Do you know what happens at crucifixion? Someone's going to die. And the Bible says here, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that world was crucified unto me, has no power over me whatsoever, and I unto the world. That means I ought to be dead to this world, and the world ought to be dead to me. You say, well, why is that? Why do we have such a battle? Because we always try to resurrect that back up, and we just yield our power. Remember what Romans chapter 6 says, that we're yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness? Do you realize we only have to yield it is because we have the power and we're giving it over to it. That's why we yield it. But according to the Bible, Galatians chapter number 6, listen, that flesh has been crucified on the cross of Christ. And I'm saying, Lord, why don't we live in victory then? Don't come. Listen, I come with them. Come with our excuses. Well, it's just too strong. I can't give it over. No, that's the problem. We are giving it over. But the cross of Christ, listen, it was crucified once and for all. We are indwelt by the power that, listen, the cross of Christ provides us the power to be able to live the holy, sanctified, separated life that God desires for us to live. That's why it is the power of God unto salvation. But look at this, Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Verse number 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Boy, aren't you thankful for that little phrase right there? Aren't you glad it didn't say, having forgiven you some of your trespasses? Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Whose cross? You say, it just didn't matter because he was just another man that was being crucified under the Roman rule. No, there was something special about his cross. And he took away the power of the law, the power of sin in our lives. He took all of it, took it out of the way, nailing it not to the thief's cross, nailing it to his cross. So why is it today that we don't live in the power of the cross? Why is it today that we don't preach it as much as we should be? Why we don't proclaim it? Why we don't spread the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ? Listen, there's something special about the cross. His cross. It's amazing that an empty cross. Now we would think, if we saw two pieces of wood laying anywhere, that's not going to be offensive. You take two pieces of wood and stand them up and cross them anywhere. Do you know what people automatically start to think? The cross of Jesus. That's why there's such an attack to it. That's why they'll go after every federal landscape there is and monument and landmark. Say, hey, we need to take that cross down. Why? It's just in memorial. Well, listen, those that are the hardest against Christ and say that he doesn't even exist, they know what that cross stands for. It's amazing. You don't have to say a word. Just have a cross. People know exactly what it is. You drive down through, and the most I've seen is in the state of West Virginia. There's someone years ago, I think there was a businessman in West Virginia that set money aside, and just about every highway you go on and some side roads, there's three crosses. If there's an empty hillside somewhere, there's three crosses that are up there on top of that hill. Do you know that everybody knows what that means? Those that are the hardest against the existence of God know exactly that the cross means Jesus. Can I remind us here at Granite State Baptist Church? We believe in the cross. We believe in his cross. The cross upon which Jesus died. Now, there was nothing special about the two pieces of wood, except they held our Savior. But that cross was probably just like hundreds of other crosses that they had. And they just happened to grab those pieces of wood to be able to put them up there on top of Mount Calvary. what we would think is just two random pieces of wood. Someone once said, and you've seen this, and it's a statement everywhere, t-shirts, hats, little trinkets, two pieces of wood plus three nails equals four given. You know why? There's something about the cross. And I want to remind us here that we believe in the cross. We're going to preach the cross. It is only through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus did that eternal salvation is received whatsoever. Only through that. You say, well, we take the power away because we want to substitute it with our good works. We take the power away because we want to feel good about something. And you know something? Thinking about a crucifixion doesn't make your flesh all warm and fuzzy. But thinking about what Jesus did for us, that's why we can sing a song, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus and what he's done for us." I wonder if you've made your way to the cross. Aren't you glad that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? Aren't you glad there's not an ATM at the foot of the cross? Aren't you glad there's not a bank to see how much money you have? Aren't you glad there's not a level of prestige that you have to be able to get close to the cross? And I'm thankful, and I just want to remind us, if we want the power of God upon our church, don't get away from the cross. Don't get away from it. Cherish it. Cling to it. And if I ever stand up and say that it's something other than the cross of Christ and his blood and his death and burial and resurrection, don't let me finish. Get someone else up here to preach. We go against the cross of Christ. That's where we're going to stay. We're going to preach the cross. Unto us which are saved. It's not a process, okay? We're not being saved. I understand that we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin. One day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Won't that be a blessing? My eternal salvation is already settled with God. I'm not being saved. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is? The preaching of the cross. Preaching the cross. Father, we love you. Jesus, thank you for enduring the cross. Now there's so much more. So much more in the scriptures about the cross. Lord, I pray that we would cherish that. Lord, we would understand that that cross, your cross, his cross, is the one that our eternal salvation was paid for upon. Lord, my sin debt was taken off my account and placed on Jesus upon that cross. May we not make light of it. But Lord, just thank you for the cross and the difference that it makes. May we take that message to a lost and a dying world. There'll be some that think it's foolish. But Lord, that's where we draw our power. Let us get close to the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.